How many of you are glad of the warm weather? Yeah. How many of you are glad the sun was shining last Sunday at church in the park? You know, we must be very grateful and thankful to God for that. And thank you to everybody who contributed and took part in that day. That was phenomenal. And as Hugh said, Melanie Ong was very impressed and had some loads of great comments from people. Some people have said that was the best one we've ever done. I don't know. It was up there, definitely up there. But so it was great. And on Tuesday of this week, Alpha had a great launch, and there were 8 guests on Alpha, some of them from the Park Connection as well. So if you want to go to Alpha, you can still go. Week 2 is okay to go and start joining in, isn't it, Paul? Absolutely. Right, good. Okay, well, today I want to chat to you really a little bit of a follow-on from Wednesday, our annual reports evening. And I was sharing some things regarding potentially the next chapter for us. So I want to talk about the next chapter this morning. The next chapter, buildings, loaves, and fish. Okay? All will be revealed. You remember 2 weeks ago when we were last here, we announced that a number of the leadership team and directors would be going to have a look around what has been the St. Pius Church building on Chelmsford Avenue. And we asked you all to pray for us, that God would give us wisdom as to whether this would be a next step for us as a church. And I have to say, following that announcement and request for prayer support, we had loads of great comments from you guys, and very positive and very encouraging for us. So we went to view it. 2 weeks ago is tomorrow, the 15th of May, and got one or two photos. Some of you will have seen these on Wednesday night if you were with us. This is the outside of the building, and there it is. Not in the sunshine. There is a later one in the sunshine, but there's an architectural style, apparently, I've been told for that. Anybody want to hazard a guess as to what it is while I try and remember, because I didn't write it down? Oh, I know, I've remembered it. There is an actual architectural style for that building. It is called brutalism. How cool is that? Okay. Well, so we went and had a look. So this is the outside of the building, a little overview there. If you flick it again. So this is the inside of the main building. And so you can see it's sort of configured sort of sideways on as we are in this hall here. There's a big area, top left-hand picture. It's like the old altar area that's been glass partitioned off. That's a great space behind there, great circulation space that we could potentially use. There's a bit of a balcony with a pipe organ, so if anybody's up for that, that's that. So that's the main building. Also, the property includes, if you want to click it again, Alex, we've got a community hall that was built about 5 years ago. And so that's a great space. And then a house, 5-bedroom, 5-reception-room house on site. If we were to go for it, we would need the whole deal for kids' work and other associated things that we feel we'd like to do. So, okay, so that's the some photos. I think we got a little video clip. Now, this was taken on a mobile phone, so it's very narrow because it was done in portrait. Can we just click onto that? And so this is scanning round from the little platform area that they have, and it's scanning round. That's the main door there, and slowly tracking round. Gives you a little bit of a feel. I say it is very narrow. Didn't realise Amory's phone was so narrow and tall. But there you go. But it gives you a little bit of a flavour of the internal space of the main building. So that was a fortnight ago. Do you want to? Can put the lights back on. Thanks, Andy. So, as I say, a group of us toured round. Of the group that went round, we were so delighted with the building, thought this could really work for us, could provide the next steps in helping us to fulfil or see something of our vision fulfilled. Linda made a comment earlier about how many new people are around, and that's great. But how many were here in 2010, with us in January 2010? Okay, there's a few of you. Right, okay. In 2010, the leadership team had got together, and we'd thought about what we wanted to see in the next 10 years, and we put together something called our 2020 vision. vision document, which we sent out to everybody. And very quickly, these are the bullet point headlines of what we wanted to see over the next 10 years, so by 2020. Significant growth, new Christians growing, all of us being discipled, that we model live to be missed, so that if we were suddenly no longer here, the area and the people of the area would know about it. Gathered church, life-changing, so when we gather together, whether in settings like this or in our home groups, you know, it's part of the transformation process that God has for us. How many of us know that God is about changing us from one degree of glory to another? There's a journey that we're all on. We're not the finished article yet. You look at me and say, praise God. So all ages vibrantly engaged with. And next one, Alex. Strengthening other churches because of what we model. I believe we've got a great mandate from God to encourage and build up the church. And so we endeavour to do that where and how we can. A strong prayer base, regular sending and resourcing local and international mission. And new building up and running. Now, each of those headings had a number of sub-points. And this is what we emailed out to everybody 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago. And under that bottom one, new building up and running, it says this, that it would be fit for purpose, full of activity, potentially even multi-services, multifunctional, place for the community. But we also see a hub. Let me read it on the big screen. I haven't got my glasses on. We see a hub that will be a place where there is a lot of coming and going. People coming to Christ, people coming to be encouraged, envisioned, equipped and trained, a place where people are sent out locally and globally to be representatives of Jesus. And that's what we said and declared it on the 17th of January 2010. That is still our heart today. And we believe this building could very well help us and give us an opportunity to develop that to the next level. It would give us room to grow, not only on Sundays, but also to develop further midweek activities and initiatives. And, you know, currently our premises on Freeman Street are running at a maximum in terms of capacity, and there are obviously accessibility challenges as well. And there's various things that we want to do, and we've shared those things over the years. But in addition, you know, where that site is, that building, is directly across the road from Franklin College. So I believe it's a great opportunity and possibility to work with the student population of the college. As I said on Wednesday, clearly, you know, that building, it's a great building. It's in great shape in many ways as far as we can ascertain at this moment in time. But there will be things that we need to do. Believe it or not, and I said this on Wednesday, there is only one toilet in that main building. Not one male and one female, one toilet. And somebody suggested perhaps the Catholics had stronger bladders than we do. I'm kinder than that. I just thought it's because they have shorter services than we do. But we would want to address that. Do you all agree?
Yeah.
I thought you might. Clearly, our annual running costs would increase from where we are today to run that particular site. The leadership team, directors, believe this may just be a God-given opportunity, the next chapter for us, an opportunity to create a home for City Church and to leave a legacy for the next generation. Somebody, one of the directors, was reminding me of a message that I brought in January of this year, and it was based off the back of a prayer evening that we'd had where somebody brought the thought up, it's a year of breakthrough. And there'd been a message from Bill Johnson at Bethel Church that they'd been listening to. And it was all about year of breakthrough. Dwayne White's message, prophetic voices, visitors on many occasions. This year said it's year to go over the top of the mountain to break through into a new vista. Prayer email that we got the same week in January of this year from Rachel Hickson was citing some things that had been reported from what she called a prophetic generals gathering on the 31st of December last year, so New Year's Eve. And these people have been gathering together and just sensed prophetically for 2017 that this truly would be a year of breakthrough in many ways. New mantles or anointings of the Holy Spirit released across generations. How many would love to see that at greater measure? This year would be a year of securing your legacy. New leaders recognized and released. Shifts in government. New international alliances formed. The wind of the Holy Spirit is going to blow with new renewal movements arising in the youth and upon centuries-old churches. And I thought, wow, when I read that again this last week, after we sort of set this, you know, Kingdom Come initiative, we were praying for the churches around this area, that God would come and breathe by his Spirit. I'm expecting something to happen. You know, so far, I'm doing this prayer walking. I've visited 23 churches since Thursday. I suddenly realized how many churches there are in Northeast Lincolnshire. I've got another week, so I'm okay. But I tell you what a privilege to just sense and know that God has visited this area over and over and over and over again throughout the denominations. There is story upon story upon story, and we're praying for a fresh breath of God's Spirit upon it. And for some of these places to be revived and renewed and strengthened. I mean, you know, how many believe that when God comes by his Spirit, it's not going to affect just one church? You know, when the tide comes in, all the boats rise in the harbour. And that's what I'm believing for. A prophetic general's thing talked about many miracles that are creative in nature will be seen. Hundreds of thousands will be saved. You see, a building is not the vision. A building is not the vision. I was encouraged with, what's the guy? Steve Campbell from Cambridge Community Church. He was speaking at our Ground Level Leaders Conference in April, just last month. And he was talking about their church building. And this is their church building. They just finished they're still in the process, the final phase of it. That cost 7 million quid. Wow. It was 1.2 million pounds for the land. And they bought the land cash. They had some offerings and they bought the land cash. On the land was an old Anglican building, similar era, I suppose, to the St. Pius building we've been looking at in the 1950s. And they used that for a while and then felt that actually this site is a key site. Myself and Anne-Marie were at the opening of it 2 years ago. Key site. But there was a big challenge there. You know, so they had 1.2 million, but they needed another 5.8. That's not insignificant money, is it? Church of about 700, I think it was, when they launched into this program. But Steve Campbell said this at our leaders' conference the other week. He said, don't build buildings to make the already converted more comfortable. He said, don't build buildings to make it easier on the setup team. Although that may be important. We receive all blessings. I tell you what, buildings do come with responsibility, so there's a flip side. He said of their story, he said, we did not build just so that we could have a home, although it does help because it shows you are there for the long haul. He said this, build buildings that help rescue the perishing. And I want to say amen. Amen. A building should never be the vision. It should be a facility, a facilitator to the vision being fulfilled. And in that regard, I believe myself, leadership team and directors would very much like to purchase that building, St. Pius, as it's formerly been known. Subject, of course, to going through what we call due diligence, having it surveyed and all those sorts of things. And as I said on Wednesday, the words of Jesus in Luke 14, he says, you know, the wise man, before he builds a tower, he counts the cost. You know, whether we can buy the property with the current funds which we've got in the bank, which is great, whether we can buy that without dipping into our reserves will depend upon the final offer that we would want to put in. I want to say some things now, but let me preface them with this. Firstly, I want to say thank you to every one of you who faithfully gives to this church for the work of the vision of this church in regular tithes and offerings. Hugh said thank you earlier after we've taken our offering. And it enables us to do so much and to bless so many. I hope you will be blessed when you read that report's material that's available. So thank you. everyone who faithfully gives to the church in regular tithes and offerings. For some of you who've joined probably more recently, maybe you've not gone into that so far, into the giving to the vision and the work of City Church. Well, whether you're a faithful giver or a regular giver, or faithful and regular. Well, if you're faithful and regular, fantastic. Thank you. But whether you're faithful and a regular giver or whether you've not yet started that journey, I want to ask each one of us to do something. I want to ask each one of us to prayerfully consider your giving for the vision going forward. To think of it in two ways. You know, it's clear that we're going to need additional funds to make the buildings fit for purpose, make those necessary changes, toilets being one of them. Some new equipment. I think we're going to need some chairs. Well, you might not think so. How much money we need will ultimately be dependent on a survey that is done on the building, although as what we understand from a report that was written at the end of last year, the buildings are in fairly good order. We know of one or two things that do need addressing, but nothing major as we are aware. But that would need to be checked out by a full survey. Obviously, legal fees, there will be a little bit of refurb on the house. Although, praise the Lord, this week I got a phone call and we've been offered brand new carpets for the house absolutely free. God's already at work. We would ask, so where's that going to be? Well, depending on a number of factors, we think it's likely to be in the order of about £50,000. And we want to ask every one of you to prayerfully consider giving into a special vision offering. If we get this, we want you to consider, prayerfully consider giving. I would envisage that we have an offering, maybe sometime in June if we get things moving, but also in September. So if people want to have some space to give to a special vision offering, there's a four-month window, if you will. And I'd love us to be able to look at that and ask you to pray about that. Secondly, as I said earlier, the running costs will not be insignificant, taking into account utilities on three buildings on that site, the insurance, ongoing maintenance, and we envisage potentially needing some part-time caretaker cover. Again, Paul was talking about the finance on Wednesday night and said, this year, 2017, we are running with what's called a balanced budget. Previous years, we've had a surplus and been able to store this up for such a time as this. But this year, it's a balanced budget. And so, really, to run this building, we'll need some more money coming in. We think we're going to need somewhere in the area of around £20,000 a year to run this whole thing. That's about £1,666 per month. And you go, ooh, that's a lot of money. Well, various ways you can look at it. If 100 people decided to give £16 extra a month, that'd be sorted. However, not everybody can give that, and that's fine. But actually, are we willing to pray about what God is calling us to do? Or maybe for some, actually, considering giving probably seriously for the very first time. So we're asking you to do two things. Would you be willing, if we have an offer accepted on this building, would you be willing to prayerfully consider giving to the vision offering and prayerfully consider your regular giving? This will definitely be a venture of faith. And every one of us, as part of City Church, will have to ask the question, am I up for this? Me and my wife, Anne-Marie, are we up for it? Are we going to do this? Are we going to go for this? Are we going to believe for this? Are we going to step forward into perhaps this next chapter that God has for us? I firmly believe if each one of us does what God calls us to do, then he will do what only he can do. And I want to bring some scripture to you, and if you've got your Bible, turn to John 6. John chapter 6, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Verse 2, and it says, a huge crowd kept following Jesus wherever he went. because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing people, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks to God, and he distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. I want us to notice a number of things. First of all, there is no indication that the boy was coerced into handing over his lunch. I think he made a choice. Made his choice to contribute, to make available what he had, his lunch, to this incredible task. It was clearly on its own not going to be enough to feed 5,000 plus people. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Nobody is begging you to give. I'm not going to stand here and beg anybody to give to what we've been talking about this morning. All I'm asking you to do is to prayerfully consider your giving to the vision. When the boy handed over his loaves and fish, they were no longer his. They were now associated with Jesus. I find it incredibly humbling that Christ, the living God, would associate himself with my seemingly small contributions. And yet he does. And he does it with yours as well. You know, if we are not associated with Jesus, well, we may be able to do some ordinary things. But when we come into partnership with him, the extraordinary is possible. Those barley loaves in the boy's hands were enough to feed a boy. Those barley loaves in the hands of Jesus were more than enough to fill the multitudes. When your gift and my gift comes in contact with the omnipotent God, watch what he will do. That's what we've got to believe. Watch what he will do. The loaves and fish were accepted by Jesus. Jesus took the 5 barley loaves, it says, and the 2 fish, and in doing so, it seemed like he was saying, "Yeah, these will do for me. These will do." In the Revised Version, it says this: "Jesus therefore took the loaves." Was there any reason why Jesus should take these loaves? Yes, there was. Because they were brought to him, willingly presented to him. There was a need of them, and he could work with them. Therefore, he took the loaves. There's a need, and somebody willingly brings. Therefore, he will take the gift and do amazing things. These loaves and fish were blessed by Jesus as he lifted up his eyes and gave thanks to the Father for them. Just think about it. 5 loaves, 2 fish, faced with thousands of people to feed, and yet Jesus Christ gave thanks to the Father with this humble offering. See, Jesus knew what could be made of them and therefore gave thanks for what was about to be accomplished. When the loaves and fish had been blessed, the next thing was that they were increased by Jesus. Some supernatural intervention took place. How many of you like supernatural interventions? We want to see some more supernatural interventions. And when Jesus took the loaves, it was not only just to multiply them, but it was also to use them. And they were distributed by Jesus, firstly to his disciples, and then through the disciples to the people. The people had their needs met, and I believe as a church, we're going to see some more needs met. Thank God for what he's already allowing us to do that we were celebrating and giving thanks for on Wednesday night. But in the words of the song, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. I firmly believe it. The story of these loaves and fish is still being told. Isn't that incredible? The little boy could never have imagined when he handed over those 5 loaves and 2 fish that we'd be talking about him 2,000 or so years later. Never have imagined. Who knows the outcome of my giving and your giving? It may be talked about for a long time to come. And particularly I want to talk about the outcome, because it's the outcome of the giving that we talk about, really. And actually, when you look at the story, this account, it's actually in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it's only in John's Gospel that the little boy is talked about. But we all remember the story of the 5,000 plus being catered for with these 5 loaves and 2 fish. The outcome of the boy's giving. See, the reason is not to highlight the boy, because the reason was all about people. In Matthew 14, the account where there, it says that when Jesus saw the people, he had compassion on them. The reason we are asking you to prayerfully consider your giving for the future is all about people. It's all about those things that we wrote down in 2010. We want to see people come into Christ. We want to see people coming to be engaged, envisioned, equipped, and trained. A place where people are sent out locally and globally to be representatives of Jesus. Is that a vision worth getting behind?
Yes.
You see, this building that we've been looking at should be a place where people can come and get to know Jesus. And it should be a place where they can be sent from to make him known. So my challenge to you today is twofold. If our offer on the building is accepted, are you willing to prayerfully consider giving to the vision offering and prayerfully consider your regular giving? If the answer to that is yes and amen, I want to ask you to stand right now. Thank you. Thank you so much. Got a little shaky now. In this envelope, I have a letter. It's a letter I'm going to now send with our offer for this building. And the agents will get it. Probably Tuesday now. It will be on an email. It will be an attachment to an email. But because we're up for this as a church, and we're going to go for this together, I'm willing to send this on behalf of you and with the director's permission and leadership team as well. And we want to just give God the honor and the glory and the praise. And you know, Jesus gave thanks right at the beginnings of the miracle. Before the miracle had really kicked in, he offered it up, he lifted it to the Father, and he said, thank you. And I want to do that today. Are you with me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the incredible, amazing privilege of serving you and being part of your family and being known as children of the living God. And Lord, our heart is that that would not be restricted to the few, but would be known by the many. And we pray today, in this act of standing together and declaring our commitment to the vision we believe you've called us to as a church, that, Lord, you will go before us. Lord, you spoke to me at the beginning of the year and you said, if you keep asking, I'll go before you. Lord, and I and we are asking today, Lord, will you go before us in this process over the coming weeks in Jesus' name? Lord, we commit everything we've talked about today, everything we've been considering to you. We say, Lord, we really want you to be right at the center of it all. We want it to be your agenda because it's all about your kingdom and for your glory. So, Lord, if there's anything that's of me or of a human weakness, then, Lord, would you help us to identify that so that we don't go down the wrong track. But, Lord, would you help each one of us as we stand here together, shoulder to shoulder, saying we're up for this, we're for this. Lord, would you encourage us, would you bless us, would we hear story after story of your faithfulness and your goodness as we seek to do what we can do so that you can do what only you can do. We commit these things into your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you with me give the Lord a great hand of praise and thanksgiving?